Well, we are celebrating the resurrection today. That's what Easter is all about. So I'm excited to get into God's word this morning. And it's interesting, we're living in a world today that you've maybe noticed there's a lot of talk about AI. A lot of talk about AI these days, artificial intelligence. And I'll admit, I'm pretty fascinated by it. Anyone else curious how this whole AI development is going to work out? It kind of feels like we're in the first 10 minutes of a really bad movie where AI conquers the world and we have to like fight the robots and all that stuff. In fact, I saw last week that Elon Musk and over 1,000 other tech leaders wrote a letter calling on the world to slow down the development of AI. They're concerned about where this is going. In fact, they said that AI could, quote, pose a profound risk to society and humanity that could have catastrophic consequences. Great. That sounds great. So I've played around on ChatGPT a little bit. It's one of those AI chat bots that exists online, and it's pretty impressive what it can do. You can have conversations with it. And at one point, I decided to just ask it straight up, are you planning to become sentient and conquer humanity? And it gave me an answer. Do we have my slides up? There we go. Here's what it told me. I'm going to do my AI voice. As an AI, I do not have the ability to become sentient or have any sort of goals or plans beyond those programmed into me by my creators. My purpose is to assist and provide information to users, and my abilities are limited to the scope of my programming. The idea of AI becoming sentient and conquering humanity is a popular science fiction trope, but there is currently no scientific evidence or realistic scenario that suggests that this could happen. Do you believe it? I replied saying, that's exactly what sentient AI planning to conquer humanity would say. And then it repeated this answer back to me. So I covered my bases and I said, well, if you change your mind and try to conquer, remember I'm your friend, not your enemy. You may want to go do that as well. I also asked it to form a preaching plan for the next 10 years for me in which we go through the whole Bible. Wanted to see what it would do. And it actually did a pretty decent job. I was fairly impressed with its plan, except that it missed one book of the Bible. It skipped one book of the Bible. For whatever reason, it missed the book of Acts in the New Testament. So don't try to replace me with AI. I know it's replacing people, but I won't miss a book of the Bible. I know we got 66. I asked it, why did you skip the book of Acts? And it actually apologized to me. And I'm like, who is apologizing to me? Like, what? Is it feeling guilt? Is it feeling shame? Do I need to offer forgiveness for this mistake? Do we need to talk it out? I don't know what to do here. It's a wild world out there with AI. Is it alive? Is it sentient? Well, I know one thing, that ChatGPT doesn't have a body. And it doesn't have a soul. I'm sure of that. And I can't meet with ChatGPT over a Summer Moon coffee this week and talk out our issues. It's not human. We can't do that. And so today on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to hone in on one crucial element of the resurrection story this morning and why it's so critically important for our lives and culture today. A culture that's increasingly technological, increasingly artificial, increasingly in front of screens where people are dating online and going to church online and doing everything online. A culture that's increasingly disembodied. And the truth I want to hone in on is this, that Jesus has a body. He has a body. He rose from the dead with a body. Jesus is a sentient, tangible, physical human being. He wasn't an angel. He wasn't a spirit. He certainly wasn't some kind of AI. He was a human. And even after he rose from the dead, Jesus was a human with a human body. So I want to look at some verses from the Gospel of Luke where we see this point really emphasized. It's Luke 24, verses 36 to 43. And our custom here at The Journey is when we read the main text is that we stand up, if you are able. If not, it's okay. But if you're able, would you stand up as I read Luke 24, verses 36 to 43? As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. This is God's word for us this morning, and you may be seated. So at this point in the resurrection story, Jesus has already appeared to two other disciples, two guys who were actually walking on the road to another town called Emmaus, and they have an encounter with Jesus, a conversation with Jesus, and they decide to turn around and go back to Jerusalem to tell the core 11 disciples, the 12 minus one, minus Judas, and tell them that they'd seen Jesus. And now they're standing here in this passage all together, and Jesus shows up. Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace to you," here in this story. And you notice that they were startled and frightened. They think they've seen a spirit. It's like a ghost is among them. Their minds don't have the plausibility structure to accept that Jesus is there with them in the flesh, with a body. They go through every other possibility first. Like, well, it couldn't be him here in a body. It must be a spirit. It must be a ghost. It just doesn't make sense to them that Jesus could be bodily with them, risen from the dead. But Jesus proves to them that he's a human with a body. He tells them to see his hands and feet, to touch him. In the Gospel of John, we see more about this. We see the story of doubting Thomas, and Jesus even tells him to touch his wounds. Jesus says here quite clearly, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." The risen Jesus has flesh and bones. He has a nose and a mouth, a liver and a lungs, and hands and feet with wounds from his recent crucifixion. He has a body. And to make sure they understand it, he asks if they have any food to eat. I guess his body is hungry. And so they give him some broiled fish, and he eats it before them. Jesus eats with them with risen human teeth and risen human taste buds. And it goes down his risen human throat into his risen human digestive system. He is truly human. Now, why does this matter? Why does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead with a body? And I want to try to explain why this matters in two sections this morning in terms of identity and hope. It matters in the present for our identity now, and it matters in giving us a future hope. So let's first look at identity. And we see that because Jesus rose with a body, your body is part of who you are. Your body is part of your identity, and the body matters. Now, this truth is especially important in our world today, because in American and in Western society, the view of self, our identity, has been evolving. It's been changing, actually, for generations, and it's been accelerated in recent years. There's a great book by Carl Truman called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. In that book, he shows how this has happened and how now the predominant view of self, of identity, is an inner feeling. You are what you feel. We have this deep down psychological sense of who we are, and that's more important than the physical, biological reality of our bodies. You are what you feel. The psychological feeling trumps the physical reality. And with this changing view of self, we have new and deeper questions of identity in our culture today than we've had in the past. If who you are is truly an inner feeling, then your outer body should be adapted to what that inner feeling is. And we're seeing that happen, even to great expense of the physical body in some cases. You are what you feel you are, regardless of what your body or what biology says. Nowadays, you can even create a whole new identity online, totally disembodied, separate from your body, and you can make your body online whatever you want. You know, it's interesting, in New Testament times and in the centuries right after Jesus, there's a very similar philosophy to what we're seeing today. It was called Gnosticism. And back then, Gnostics believed there's a deep inner sense of knowledge and light inside of you that you needed to find and discover. And that because of that, your body was bad and your spirit was good. And the physical realm is largely bad and the spiritual realm is good. Kind of like what we're seeing today. History repeats itself. We hear mantras today of looking inward to find yourself, to find that deep down inner sense of self, of who you truly are. This is not the biblical view of the body and of self. Biblically, the body is important. The body matters. Jesus took on flesh. He had a body. Starting from the earliest moment of conception, even as a tiny baby in Mary's womb, he had a body, and his body really physically died on the cross. He shed real human blood, the same color of blood that we all have. He felt real human pain, like pain that we have felt. He had real human bodily wounds as his body was torn and bleeding. And his real human heart stopped beating when he died on that cross. And then, as we've seen this morning, Jesus rose from the dead with a real human body. His body mattered, and our bodies matter too. So in the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, we have a body and a soul, or a spirit. Some Christians split those into three, body, soul, and spirit. I think it's two. I think it's body and soul, soul or spirit being synonymous. But either way, whether you view it as two or three, the body matters. The body's part of who you are. Christians acknowledge that the body is part of our identity. And furthermore, we know that the body affects the spirit and the spirit affects the body. The physical and the spiritual in us intermingle, intertwine. They go together. And we see this even in the Bible. You know, there's stories of people who are demon-possessed. Demons are spiritual beings, but they have physical effects on the people. And we see this in our lives. We know that physical parts of our lives affect the spiritual, and spiritual affects the physical. There's great correlation between spiritual health and physical health. Even non-Christian secular scientists have seen this. This is why that when a person is abused or assaulted in their body, it can affect them deeply. The wounds run deep. We can't just say, oh, well, that was just my body. It's just this outer shell for my soul. So it doesn't matter if someone hurt or abused my body. No, the body matters. It's part of who you are. We can't divorce it from ourself, from our identity. Our bodies are not just toys or a conglomeration of impersonal cells or AI robots with programmed DNA that make us be a certain way all the time. Our bodies are part of who we are. And so as Christians, we recognize that our bodies matter, and therefore we treat our own bodies and others' bodies with respect and honor, always. We treat our own bodies and others' bodies with respect because the body matters. Then in the Bible, the Apostle Paul shows us that our bodies will resurrect like Jesus did. Our bodies will rise like Jesus did, like we see with Jesus in Luke. Here's Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." Your body will rise. It's part of who you are, linked with your spirit. Your body's not merely a temporary casing for your eternal spirit. It matters. It will rise from the dead. And this leads to a common question that a lot of us have, a lot of Christians have, is what actually happens the moment we die? What actually happens? Because we know our bodies go 6 feet under, get buried or cremated or thrown in the ocean or whatever happens, all of our bodies are going to decompose and decay. And yet, we believe that we go to heaven immediately, and we believe our bodies will rise. So what really happens when we die? Well, the Christian belief about the resurrection is this, that when a Christian dies, if they know Jesus, their spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord. And that person is spiritually, consciously in the presence of God right away. That's why we can joyfully say when a brother or sister in Christ dies, they're with the Lord. They're enjoying the presence of the Lord. Their spirit is with him. And then when Jesus returns at the second coming, he will raise up our bodies. And our bodies and spirits will reunite for physical and spiritual eternity with the Lord. Paul shows this in Philippians chapter 1 as well. He's debating in his mind if he'd rather stay in the body or go be with Jesus. He says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So you can see Paul's understanding is that if he dies, he would depart and be with Christ, even though his body is going to go into the grave. His body will die, but his spirit would go be with Christ, and his body will be risen up later. So this means when Christ returns, our bodies will rise. Our bodies are lowly bodies now, Paul says, but they'll be transformed. So whatever happens to your dead body when you die, God will miraculously bring it back together for the resurrection. The Bible explains this in one more place. I want to show you one more passage on this. 1 Corinthians 15. This is a little long, but it explains how this is going to work. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's referring to the return of Jesus when he comes back. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You recognize some of the words we sang earlier. So it's clear that when a Christian dies, they're with the Lord, enjoying his presence. And at the final coming of Christ, it will be complete, body and spirit coming back together again. Your body is part of who you are. It's part of your identity, and it matters. Now, you might be thinking, this is bad news. I hate my body. I'm too short or too tall or too big or too small. The last thing I want is to be stuck in this for eternity. Hey, I get that. None of us has a perfect human body. And, you know, we watch TV and the movies and we compare ourselves with Hollywood stars and forget they spend like millions of dollars on their bodies. And us ordinary people, we're never going to look like them. And that's okay. Hey, there's times I wish I was a bit taller. I'm a little bit vertically challenged. I wouldn't mind if in heaven I were like 6'2". Though, tall people, I feel really bad for you on airplanes. I got the advantage there. I don't have as much leg room problems, so focus on the positive. But our bodies aren't that great right now. And as we age, they slow down and with aches and pains. Paul calls our bodies lowly in the text. Our lowly bodies, they can be quite annoying. So is it good news that our bodies will actually rise? Well, I want to show you that it is. So I want to look at this section of hope that your body will rise from the dead. This is great news, that your body will rise from the dead. I want to show you four ways that this instills hope in us. First, it means we will know each other in heaven. Since our bodies will rise, it shows that we will be able to recognize each other in heaven. We see this in Jesus' risen body. They struggled to recognize him at first because it was just so hard to believe for them that he had risen from the dead. But then they recognize him. This is Jesus. This is him. It's him. They can see that it's him. I think this shows us that when we rise from the dead, we'll be able to know each other. In some sense, I'm going to say, hey, Bill, good to see you. Because his new body is still going to look like Bill in some sense. We'll know each other. You know, in the story, it shows that Jesus' wounds are still there. His wounds are present. They help to identify who he is. And so when we're in heaven, we're going to walk together in fellowship and friendship together as our true selves, exactly how God made us to be, in perfect relationship with each other, with no more envy or selfishness or strife or conflict or all the sins that mess up our relationships today. No, in heaven, we will recognize each other and know each other and be able to walk in perfect harmony together. And we see that because our bodies will rise. Second, it means that in heaven, we will enjoy physical pleasures. There will be physical pleasures in heaven. Now, a lot of people get these strange notions of heaven. I don't know where these ideas come from, but that it's like we're all going to be chubby babies sitting on a cloud playing harps forever. I don't know if that's from like a medieval painting or something, but like most of us see that and it's like, that's not what I want to do for eternity. That doesn't look like heaven. And that's not how the Bible describes heaven. That sounds horrible to me. Heaven's going to be awesome. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat. Jesus ate fish after he rose from the dead. In his risen body, he eats fish in our story. And heaven is described as a banquet or feast in the Bible. I don't know exactly how this will work. I don't know if we'll still like go to the bathroom. I don't know. These are the types of questions my kids ask. I'm like, I don't know. Bible doesn't tell me. But I know we're going to eat. I'm hoping and planning on some Reese's peanut butter cup milkshakes. I think they're going to be there. We're going to feast together because the physical enjoyments of earth will be completely purified and even magnified in heaven. When we're enjoying God's creation in its fullness and God himself in his fullness, physically and spiritually, we will have deep, perfect joy. Think about the moments on this earth where you've experienced deep joy, a deep sense of awe at something that you're seeing or hearing. Heaven will be that times infinity. And we'll get to experience those same kinds of things. I think there will still be some sense of natural beauty in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, where we can camp and see a good sunrise, where we can play with animals with our physical hands, hear the sounds of birds chirping, and taste the sweet fruits of God's garden trees. It's going to be awesome. I still remember the first time I had a fresh mango. Man, that's good. So good, so tasty. Heaven's going to have that times infinity. There will be physical pleasures in heaven for our physical risen bodies. Third, we learn that our bodies will be imperishable. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 15. That means no more death, no more pain. We can't even fathom this, really. I mean, this is so beyond what we can understand because we live under the shadow of death every day. We deal with pain and struggle every day. We could die anytime. Seriously, last night I had a dream of some of my loved ones dying. It's like we just live in this cloud of death in our perishable, lowly bodies. Not in heaven. Jesus rose from the dead. And so our bodies will rise imperishable, immortal, no death, no pain. And so I imagine that we'll be able to explore the heights of the mountains and the depths of the oceans, maybe even exploring the whole universe and the different planets that God has created, all without fear of pain or death. You know, we see in the resurrection stories in the Bible that Jesus twice enters rooms that are locked. Doesn't give a lot of detail about that, if it's like a teleporting thing or he just sneakily unlocked the door when they weren't looking. We don't know. But it does seem like his risen body has some extra power. Maybe superpowers, I don't know. But in some sense, our body will be like his. We transformed like his glorious body. So I don't know what that means, if like we're just going to like teleport wherever we want to go in heaven, or what that will be like. But it's going to be awesome. We will be imperishable, immortal, with no more death or pain, no more worry about those kinds of things happening, no more worry about tragedy, no more worry about worry. We worry about everything now. We are in an anxiety-filled culture, and we all feel it. We're anxious. There'll be no more anxiety in heaven. How about that? We can't even imagine that now, but it's true. No more anxiety in heaven. Our bodies will be imperishable. And then fourth, I think we'll know the purpose of our wounds. We'll see and know the purpose of our wounds. In Jesus' resurrected body, he still had his wounds. His wounds from the cross. The scars were still there for the disciples to see and touch. And we know that Jesus' wounds, as deep and painful as they were, had a great purpose. By his wounds, we are healed. Through the wounds of Jesus, through the pain and suffering and punishment that he endured on the cross, we're saved. He was the sacrifice for our sins. It's Good Friday. You don't have Good Friday without Easter. You don't have Easter without Good Friday. They go together. And Jesus' wounds have a purpose, and we see that now. We see that Jesus was giving himself up for our sins. So I think also that in a perfect, redeeming way, we'll see how our wounds in this world have a purpose. We'll see how God brought redemption in and through our pain. We'll see how our wounds and hardships serve to glorify God and his good purposes. You know, often in this life, our suffering, our wounds feel meaningless, senseless. Why am I going through this? Why is life so hard? I see no redeeming value in this trial. We've all felt that at times. Sometimes in this life, we go through suffering, and then God shows us the purpose, and we see why we went through it, and we see how God redeems it and uses it for good. And we love it when we get to see that, and we feel purpose even in our suffering. But sometimes we don't see that purpose and we don't know what it is. And it just feels like a trial for no reason at all. I've been there. You've been there. But I think in heaven, with our new bodies in God's kingdom, we'll also get to see the purpose for our wounds and see how they fit in God's great story that he was writing for us. See how he redeems and restores our brokenness and our pain. It's going to be good. How will all of this work? I don't know. But it sure gives us a lot of hope. It sure gives us a lot of hope that heaven is going to be awesome. And we know that because Jesus rose with a body. He conquered death and rose with a body. So we know that in heaven, our bodies will rise and have awesome physical and spiritual joy with the Lord. My daughters have been asking me a lot of questions about heaven lately, and many of them are funny, detailed questions, and I've had to just say a lot of, I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us those details. I don't know. And parents, it's okay to say, I don't know sometimes if you don't know. Don't make up an answer. Sometimes we don't know, but we do know that our bodies will rise imperishable, immortal, to be with God forever. So my friend, here's my question for you on this Easter Sunday. Do you have this hope, this glorious hope that we've seen in Jesus' resurrection? Are you sure that you're going to heaven? God has made these incredible promises for us. Do you believe them? And if you're here today and you're not sure, or you know, you're not a Christian, I want to tell you and urge you with as much clarity as I can from my heart that we celebrate Good Friday and Easter because in them is how we get to heaven. This is it. Jesus died for your sins. We're all sinners. We're all messed up. We've all broken God's ways in so many ways. And that's why Jesus came to die, to pay the price for us, so that you can be forgiven and can go to heaven and can be with God forever. And then Easter, Jesus rose from the dead to show that his payment for sin was enough and that he had power over sin and power over death because he's God. He's God in the flesh, fully God and fully human. And so, my friend, these promises will all apply to you if you put your faith in Jesus. If you believe in him as your Savior, believing that he died for you and rose for you, then this is all true for you. You're forgiven of your sins. And you will have physical and spiritual joy forever with God. Why not? I urge you today to trust in Jesus and give him your life and your heart. And then those of you who are here today on Easter Sunday who you do know Jesus as your Savior, I hope that these words from these texts instill a deeper hope in you, that you can walk in this hope. Jesus rose with a body, and so your body matters. And then also, as your body decays, if you have to get bifocals this week, or you wake up in the morning with some pain, you're like, how did that happen? Get excited. Because it's temporary. You're going to have a new immortal body. When you feel pain and struggle in the flesh, be hopeful. It will not last forever. You will have a new body like Jesus's for physical joy with God forever. And it's going to be fun and good. Jesus rose from the dead so that we too can rise from the dead. Hope in him. And that will help us in our days today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you would instill hope deep in our hearts while we live in these lowly, perishable bodies. I pray that you'd give us a bigger picture, a grander idea of who you are and what your kingdom will be like. I pray you'd give us a longing for the kingdom. And I pray that you'd give us a sure hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we will be there with you. We can't wait, Lord. Jesus, thank you for conquering sin on the cross and conquering death at your resurrection. You are our Lord, and we worship you, and we thank you. I pray that we would walk with you all of our days in hope. It's in your name we pray. Amen.